Hey guys, what up? This is your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. It's been a little while, but it's okay. I'm back and I'm getting in the swing of this. And if you guys caught the last episode and the episode before that, you realize that I am actually doing video now, which is a great thing because you don't just want to hear a guy talk all the time. And since I'm out here in California all by myself, I don't really have a lot of guests that I can bring on. And I'm waiting for people to call into the show. You got to call into the show on anchor.fm, download the app, and then leave me a voice message, or we can sync up and I can add you to the show. It's real easy. I think you guys would love it, especially if you have anything to say. I know you do, about design, particularly car design. But here on Sketchbook Audio, we don't discriminate. We talk about shoe design, backpack design. In fact, I'm actually going to talk about some interesting things I found on Instagram that I would love to share with you guys. Now, in the background, you will hear Robot Rock by the greatest techno band, EDM, whatever you want to call it, dance, Daft Punk. And I freaking love Daft Punk. There's something about them. It's just so energizing. Now, actually, I haven't heard this song in a while, and I heard it recently when I went to Eibach. Now, it's probably backwards for some of you, but that's okay. I think you get the idea. You can see it says Eibach. I had the lucky privilege of being able to go to their headquarters / factory up in Corona, California. Being that I'm a quality engineer right now, there was reasons. Don't get me wrong. Eibach makes a great spring. Had nothing to do with their springs. It actually had everything to do with another supplier. So no discredit to Eibach. They still make a great spring. I still think you should go out and buy Eibach springs if you want to lower your car or even raise it up. I specifically am in the market to raise my vehicle up an inch or two, actually probably 2 or 3 inches, and it's going to happen very soon, I promise you, and we will go around the vehicle once it happens because I'm super excited about it. What I'm also excited about is today's episode because we have a lot to talk about because so many things have happened, namely the Frankfurt International Auto Show, and they had some really cool cars. So let's talk about that. We're also going to talk about some products I saw on Instagram and I really would like to get into because they're not cars. They're things that you would use on an everyday basis, but I really liked the design, one of them being completely conceptual and the other being an actual product that you can, in fact, buy. So let's get to those things here on Sketchbook Audio. Stay tuned. All right, everybody, we are back. And I promise you, you guys are about to get lucky. Some more Daft Punk. Let's get to it. An international auto show out in Frankfurt, Germany. It was awesome. I wasn't there. I wish I was. And one of these days, I may, in fact, get the chance to go. And if I do, I'm taking you all with me so you all can get lucky, figuratively speaking. I'm not going to help you get lucky. You're just going to have fun at the Frankfurt International Auto Show. And it's going to happen because this year, we're also going to go to the Los Angeles Auto Show. We're going to go to SEMA. It's coming up in a few months. It's just around the corner. We're also going to go to probably New York and maybe Chicago. So I'm very excited for this year. But enough of that talk. Let's get to the Frankfurt International Auto Show. Now, I'm on autoblog.com right now because that tends to be where I get most of my information. But we are going to take a quick look at their list of favorite vehicles they had because, frankly, it had all of my favorite vehicles on there. Now, one of those vehicles I actually had something to do with, and I was pretty happy until I heard that it is not coming for the U.S. Yet another vehicle that is essentially forbidden fruit, and that is the Volkswagen ID.3. The Volkswagen ID.3 is a part of Volkswagen's product launch that they're just going to bombard the world with in order to basically make up for their little snafu of Dieselgate and make up for all the pollution that they may or may not have attributed to or contributed to. So what they want to do is they want to just pretty much make everything electric going forward. But to do that, they needed to really invigorate and excite people with electrical vehicles. And for the most part, not too many people have done a great job of getting people really hyped about electric cars. Tesla does a pretty good job, in my opinion, because their cars are different, they're unique, and they're not the normal OEMs that we hear about all the time. They're not Toyota, they're not Volkswagen, they're not Chrysler, or Ford or General Motors. So they have this ability to captivate the market, mostly because of one of the only electric car companies making cars for the world. Up until now, there are more companies coming out, and I am super excited about it. But again, I'm really upset that this ID.3 is not coming to the States. Why? Because it's boasting like 300 plus mile range, which is phenomenal. And it's all in the size of a Volkswagen Golf. It's got a little bit more of a bubble characteristic and not as long as a long of a hood as your typical Golf would, which is fine. I still really like the car. I think it's a great design. I think it's practical, it's functional, and it's kind of quirky and cute without being so dramatic of a futuristic car. It takes everything that we know about small compact cars and hatchbacks and just throws in a really awesome electric powertrain. I'm just really surprised that they got as much range out of it as they did. Perhaps it has something to do with the power transfer unit and the gearboxing that yours truly had something to do with whilst working at McLaren. I don't work there anymore, so frankly, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it was pretty interesting to see all the products that we made in conjunction with Volkswagen and Audi. Also, speaking of electric vehicles that I had something to do with, Mercedes EQ product line. I'm not sure what all powertrains and power transfer units I helped be a part of that are now going into, you know, which vehicle, but at Frankfurt, they showed their second EQ vehicle, and that is the EQS. Now, the EQS is basically an S-Class. It's a very big electric car, and it's an electric sedan. But what's really awesome about it is it's not typical Mercedes. The only thing that's really, you know, shouting Mercedes is that big giant TriStar in the grill and the two-tone quality of the vehicle. You have this really long, elegant, seamless almost, and there's no frills. There's no vents. There's no protruding objects. There's nothing to tell you that there's radar, LiDAR, or any other kind of, you know, sensors, infrared, whatever. It's just this really sleek speed form almost, and it's beautiful. And I love the fact that the whole roof, the hood, the deck lid, everything above the belt line is black, and the rest of it is this nice pewter-esque silver color, I guess. And then there's this interesting orange, bronze, copper, I don't know what color you want to call it, accent trim that goes along the side skirt, the front bumper, or the front lip, and then in the rear valence. It's an interesting color combination. You got the black, you got the silver, and then you got this, black carbon fiber, and then you have this orangish copper color. And I'm not so sure I'm into the copper right at this moment, but I think it might grow on me, especially if this, you know, takes a turn towards production. Because right now this is conceptual, but the direction that Mercedes, of course, will go because they want to electrify the majority of their lineup. And frankly, that's pretty much what everybody is doing. So there's no surprise there. The next car that I thought was really cool was Hyundai's 45. Now the Hyundai 45 is essentially what you would call a retro-futuristic concept car. However, what Hyundai says is it's not so much retro as it is progressive. And I don't care what they say. I think it's freaking awesome. Now, remind you, most of these pictures will be up on the Sketchbook_Audio Instagram page. I hope you guys will check it out because you're going to love these vehicles as much as I do. But this Hyundai 45 harkens back to, 45 years ago when they had a really sleek looking hatchback car back then. I'll post pictures of that as well. But it's just so clean and I love it. But it takes a lot of cues that Hyundai and a lot of other car companies, frankly, are known for, and that's that reverse shark fin in the back with a really nice blacked out greenhouse. Huge wheels. I mean, these things have got to be like 22, 24 inches. So your fender flares are really punchy. And it's almost like you're looking at something straight out of Tron or I'm trying to think of another movie that would really have these edgy looks. And it kind of reminds me of that Peugeot Legend, E-Legend concept that came out last year. It's very similar to that, but it's Hyundai's take on so that was Peugeot's take on a futuristic luxury electric muscle car, the French's version of a muscle car. This is Hyundai's version of a retro hatchback. I dig it. And you know me, I love hatchbacks, so you could sell me on pretty much anything with a hatch, and I'm going to love it. So check this out. It's the Hyundai 45. It's a pretty slick car. Here's an interesting one that I didn't see coming, except for the fact that I saw rumors and I saw, like a teaser for it, but the Audi AI Trail Quattro. First of all, I mean, we know Audi is known for really good all-wheel drive systems, but an off-road vehicle from Audi? Nobody takes their Audi off-road, let alone their all-road or their Quattro vehicles off-road. You just don't do it. You might take the Q3 or the Q5 out on, you know, some dirt roads, or maybe those roads are covered in snow, and that's about it. That's not a bad thing. They handle really well, and you've seen the commercials. You can go on lakes and stuff with them. By the way, they use special tires to do that. But let the magic exist. Who am I to say otherwise? But this, the Audi AI Trail Quattro, one of the cool things about this vehicle is it basically has tweels. Now, if you don't know what a tweel is, first of all, Google it. Second of all, be prepared to be amazed because it's awesome. Basically, what a tweel is it takes the suspension and puts it all into the wheel and the tire. So the tire, the suspension, i.e. the shocks and the springs, all into a giant wheel that can compress and decompress as you go over objects. So the whole system is one part that absorbs everything. And the only thing I have against it is it just doesn't look right yet. Nobody has really perfected the tweel, but Audi came close. Now, interestingly enough, when you look at these tires, first of all, they're badass. They're really cool looking. They're huge. But they don't have the typical tread pattern that an off-road tire would have. However, Audi claims that this will do pretty well off-road, particularly in sand. But, you know, whatever. Now, one thing that kind of is disparaging is the fact that they tout this as an autonomous off-roader. I mean, you can throw autonomous tech on everything, but do you really want an autonomous off-roader? Not me. And I'm pretty sure anybody who buys a Jeep, a Gladiator, a Wrangler, a Ram Rebel, a Ford Raptor, or even a Rivian, they don't want to just disconnect from the feel of that drive. There's something about driving and having your hands on either the steering wheel or the steering wheel and the shifter and feeling like you are one with the road or the lack of the road in nature. So I'm just not buying the autonomous aspect of it. Now, when I was at the College for Creative Studies and the Art Institute of Pittsburgh and the Cleveland Institute of Art, this was something that came up quite frequently. So I'm not surprised by it. I just don't buy it yet because I don't think the people who are doing the off-roading want to be disconnected from it. Now, if you're taking a long trip and you're overlanding, so to speak, and you need that time to sleep while the car is still moving, if it's done right, sure, but are you really going to even be able to get any sleep if this vehicle is jarring you all over the place? I can barely sleep with the car just, you know, with my dad kind of moving the steering wheel like this. I get nauseous. So falling asleep while this robot takes over, unless it's playing Robot Rock by Daft Punk, I'm just not going to be into it. So I would love to hear what you guys think. Post it up on the Sketchbook _ Instagram, Sketchbook _ audio. Man, I'm like tongue-tied today. Post it up there. Shoot me a message on anchor.fm or through the app, the Anchor app. And let me know what you think. Is autonomous off-roading a thing? Is that going to be a thing? Are we destined to just forget what it is to drive a car? I'll be dead before it happens, I hope. But kudos to the design. The design is gorgeous. It's kind of what I would have expected from not only Audi, but also from the packaging aspect of things. You know, it's a huge greenhouse. There's a lot of window space, so you can see everything that's around you. I am surprised, though, that there is an A-pillar connection between both sides, and it's metal. I would have expected a full glass roof, greenhouse, everything around it to really experience nature and make this thing super unique. But it's a good design. I don't understand the purpose of it, right? So moving on, my favorite out of every vehicle that was shown at the Frankfurt International Auto Show, and I really hope it comes to the States soon because I'm going to go and test drive one and bring it to you guys here on YouTube. But the Defender, the 2020 Defender by Land Rover, of course. Now, this is an iconic car, just about as iconic as the FJ Cruiser, as a Land Cruiser, and as the Wrangler. But this is what off-roading is. And Land Rover pulled no punches. They spared no expense. They gave us what we wanted. We wanted something that was a little bit retro, but not so much retro that it was boring or that it was stuck in the past, but something that looked clean. It looked modern. It looked like moving architecture, and it just looks durable, like it wants to kick some ass off-road. Unlike, say, the Range Rover Velar or the Evoque or even the Range Rover Sport, nobody's taking those things off-road, but people will take the Defender off-road. And the best part is it comes in a four-door variant and a three-door variant. So, well, a five-door variant and a three-door variant. So it's like having the Evoque, but what the Evoque really should have been, and that was a compact off-roader. I did take my Evoque off-road. I'll probably post some videos of that eventually, but it's not bad. I just wouldn't expect people to take their $50,000 compact SUV off-road like that. But Land Rover did a great job. What they really nailed was the accessories that you can do with this. You can get a from the manufacturer, a side ladder, side cargo compartments that go on the side of the quarter panels, bunch of roof racks and baskets, a snorkel straight from the factory. I mean, who else is doing that other than Toyota with the TRD Pros? Nobody. Ram can do it through Mopar after the fact or through American Expedition vehicles, but Land Rover did everything on this vehicle, and I really hope it comes through for them because there's a lot of accessories that I think people are going to clamor over, and you know, if they don't show up at launch, it could be a problem. Now, the one thing I want to compare this to is the new Mercedes GLB. Mercedes is touting that as an off-road capable vehicle, and it's meant to go off-road. It's meant to take seven people off-road. But the concept model was great. I felt like, okay, yeah, I could take this thing off-road. I didn't like the little kick in the back on that C to D pillar, but I saw something in it that was, okay, I can believe this as being an off-roader, even if I'm taking two extra people that may or may not really fit. But Land Rover took that five-door, same. It's like the same wheelbase. The footprint on this, they're identical. But they gave us something that looks off-road ready in every trim. And the interior borrows a lot from kind of what the G-Wagon was doing along with what the Wrangler does, but gave it that classic Land Rover touch. And you have this big, wide expanse that's not overdone with technology. There's not a bunch of big screens. There's not one big massive screen like Mercedes did with their M-Bucks entertainment system. It's more like the Wrangler. And that's a great thing because you still feel like you're driving a vehicle. You're not inundated with technology, but you know that there's technology there because there are some buttons, and it's a newer vehicle. So it's going to have the blind spot monitoring, the backup cameras. And what Land Rover is known for is all these other cameras in the front bumper. Hell, maybe there might even be one in the roof somewhere for the trailer. I don't know. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Land Rover. So kudos to them on the new Defender. I'm super excited. Those are all the vehicles I had to talk about at Frankfurt. But before we move on to the next thing, the couple products I wanted to discuss, I did want to talk about one vehicle, and that is Lamborghini's their entrance into the electric or hybrid market. And that's, let's see if I can pull it up here. Give me a moment because I don't really remember the name. It's just so sexy. Oh, and there is one other vehicle. I can't wait to post this on Instagram because it's just so fun and it's perfect. And we'll never get it here in the States, but the Audi A1 City Carver. I don't know what the frick a City Carver is, but why we don't have this in the States is beyond me. Ford's out with hatchbacks. Dodge doesn't have a hatchback. Chevy pretty much doesn't have a hatchback anymore. So come on, Audi. Volkswagen, I mean, you know, the Golf is great, but give us an alternative. BMW is hogging everything with the X2 and the X1, and they're not even true hatchbacks. This is a true hatchback, and it's gorgeous, and I wish they would bring it here, but they probably won't. Although, you know what? Although I shouldn't speak too soon because they did, in fact, bring the Audi RS6 Avant back to the States along with the new RS7 and a couple other vehicles that I'm super stoked about. But let me see if I can find this thing here. Man, I got to tell you, just go on Autoblog and check out their gallery, their mega gallery for the Frankfurt Auto Show. Audi is killing it. The new Q7 updates, I hated the redesign from a couple of years ago, but this, whatever they did to refresh it and massage the shit out of it, gorgeous. I already said the RS6 Avant, the RS7 Sportback. God, it just makes me wish I had money, but I don't. BMW's Concept 4. Now, I presently love the 4 Series, but this, cannot wait for this car. The only thing I don't like, and a lot of people have voiced their negativity towards BMW about this, but it's the grill. It's huge. Like, it takes up the entire span of the whole height of the front end. Now, Audi does that too with most of their grills, but there's something about it that's a little bit more elegant. And BMW's Concept 4 just looks like two elephant ears with like a narrow elephant snout trunk. And it's frightening. But it's got a big, giant smile under it. So it's wonderful. It's a cool design. And the color is great. And I really like how the headlights and the taillights are three-dimensional. It's not just a flat, you know, piece of glass covering little three-dimensional objects inside. The taillights are actually something you can touch, which, by the way, the Land Rover Defender also has taillights that are similar to that, and they harken back to it's a great homage to the old Defenders. BMW did show the Vision M next there, and that's a really cool car. I love the color clash and the juxtaposition of this bright red next to a dull silver and black, but, man, that is a beautiful car. I'm trying to get to Ferrari had a couple vehicles, the new F8 along with the 812 GTS. Those are hot. Again, things I can never afford. Let's talk about the Honda E real quick. We don't have too much time left on this episode because I don't want to bore everybody to death, but the Honda E, I love it because it's a compact electric car that really draws, you know, design cues and that heritage from the K cars, but puts it in a fresh, modern, updated body, and they didn't change anything from concept to production. It's awesome. And this model that they showed here, it has a blacked out greenhouse with a little reverse shark fin, so it's a floating roof. The taillights and the headlights look like big giant eyes, and it kind of has this friendly smiling face, which city cars in Japan and China do. They have that happy, you know, like, hey, I'm smiling at you as I come and drive. But this one is a little bit sinister, and it's probably because of all the gloss black that they put on here, you know, sandwiched in by this really beautiful granite crystal color. It's a sharp looking car, and I can't wait for this thing to come to the States. I really hope it does, and I hope it comes to the States without side view mirrors. Listen, the automotive industry here in the United States has everything ass backwards when it comes to safety. In Europe, they're doing all of these progressive designs and this futuristic tech that is going to help save lives when it comes to nighttime driving and just overall safety, you know, merging in and out of lanes and whatnot. And the only people who are really taking advantage of it are Tesla and soon Audi. But come on, we don't need side view mirrors. When we already have backup cameras and other cars have surround view cameras, just give us mirrors on the side of our car. It reduces drag. It looks badass. And there's so many different functionalities to having a camera on the side. Not only does it help with merging into a lane that you can't see because you don't want to look back behind you while you drive, because shit might be happening over here while you're trying to turn over here, but you can't. You can see those pesky motorcyclists coming up and splitting lanes while I'm out here in California. I've almost killed like five by now. It's I don't know how I managed to avoid hitting them. It just, yeah. I don't try to. They're just there. And yeah. So, another car that we'll never get, but it's awesome, is the Hyundai i10. I love hatchbacks. And this one's so tiny and cute, but it's actually very angry, and I love that. It's got personality in a tiny, tiny car, and it's really cool. One thing I will mention real quick is I'm going to post pictures of these little details that I found on some of these cars that I think they really stand out, and I love them. The i10 has these interesting fog lights that have a honeycomb texture. So I want to show that. The N line has an even more aggressive and differentiating fog light or daytime running light treatment. I want to show you that. I want to show you the Nissan Juke, the new 2020 Nissan Juke fog lights, because they're crazy and such a good design. And I really want to show you the details on this Lamborghini Cyan. I don't know how to say it, but it's freaking cool. It's Lamborghini's first hybrid, and it's the most powerful Lamborghini there is. It is flawless. It's the perfect blending of everything Lamborghini has been known for the past 20 years. And then it just takes it a step further without going anywhere away from what Lamborghini has been known for. Tons of body curvatures and panels that just connect with one another. You think they're going in one direction, and then they just break off and go a totally different direction. This is one of those cars where you think you have cars figured out, and then all of a sudden you don't. I don't even know if I could draw what this thing is doing because there's so many folds and cuts. It's a smart design, and something about Lamborghini's thought process into cars like the Sesto Elemento, this Cyan, and a few other vehicles that have come out in the past, the Asterion, they get it. And the nice thing is they can do it from a production standpoint. It's not just conceptual, and it's not one-offs like Zagato and Pininfarina. They make these things happen, and I love it. Okay, that's enough about cars. A couple things I wanted to talk about before we get out of here because we're at past 30 minutes and I don't want to bore you to death. But I was on Instagram and I found this glove that, it could be for men or for women, I guess, but in between these two fingers is an iron, a hair iron or a straightener. And you just grab your hair and you pull it and then you just run your fingers over your hair and you get either curls or you get straightened hair. Genius. I've straightened my hair before. I'm not ashamed of it. I've done it. And using a straightener is hard. But if I just had my hand to run through and then grab that hair that I want and pull, it's a done deal. Now, the only thing I don't understand is how they protect the hand from getting burned. Because if you know anything about hair straighteners, they get hot. And there's usually more than one setting. Plus, you have two pieces of ceramic here. Maybe there's some way to diffuse it with a heat sink or something. It did look like there were vents on the fingers. And I'm going to post this picture on Instagram as well. Tell me what you think about it because it's cool. I really like it. But it's smart too. The last thing I wanted to talk about, and I will post more pictures of this, are bikes. I got a chance to go back to Michigan last weekend, and I went to a bike store, and me and one of the store guys there, one of the salesmen, we were talking about Fox Shocks because I work for Fox now. And the guy just started drooling because he was like, oh my gosh, I love Fox. And he wouldn't stop telling me about all of these different bikes. People will come in and they'll have one kind of shocks, whether it's Rock Shocks or some other brand, some off the shelf brand or Schwinn or Trek or something. And he just says, get Fox Shocks, get them. It's the best purchase you could ever make. And I don't disagree with him. The one thing I found interesting though, was a lot of our athletes that ride with Fox products, they're riding on bikes that are like 10 grand or more. And I got to hold this one. It was a Cannondale. It might have been a different one. I don't quite remember. But I was holding a Specialized, a Cannondale, a really expensive Trek, and something else. And they were all just Fox. The whole catalog was on the thing. All of these bikes I could lift with one finger. Insane. But more insane than the physics behind lifting carbon fiber or really thin aluminum is the price tag. The cheapest one I was holding was $6,000. The most expensive one was $12,000. And it didn't even have an electric motor, let alone a gas motor. Hey, when you're an athlete like that that gets the dirt bike and mountain bike like that for a living, they give that shit to you for free. So I'm just sitting here like, hey, I'll go down a mountain as fast as I can. Just give me a bike to do it, and I'll do it. So that's all we have today for Sketchbook Audio. I hope you guys will check out the Instagram page, Sketchbook_Audio. I also want to throw out this possibility, t-shirts. I already have business cards, but what about t-shirts? I'm going to go to SEMA. So t-shirts could be a thing this year at SEMA, and basically what I want to do is I want to have a bunch of them ready to go. So if you come up to me and you find me at SEMA this year, I can hand you a Sketchbook_Audio t-shirt. Just got to mention the show or just mention my name, Ryan Sketch. Anyways, guys, it's been wonderful today. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this show is nothing without my listeners, and without creative thinking, this whole world is boring. So go out, get your sketchbook, draw, don't stop. Tag me in your post of your drawings. I would love to see what you guys are working on, whether it's some new futuristic design of a hair curler to the newest off-roading vehicle. I want to see it. Not gonna critique you. I'm just going to give you my love and my enthusiasm and my encouragement. Be good to one another, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Talk to you next week.